This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Ready for an awesome episode? Well, so are we. But you know what? Before we get to it, I got to tell you that members of Navy Federal Credit Union could earn more and save more. Bam! Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as our friends at Navy Federal do. Start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit. For example, you could open an Easy Start certificate for just $50. And then how many certificates do this? You can then add money at any time and watch your savings grow. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.
Hey, this is Joe's sister, Nikki. I think I might be the only girl in the world who has a brother who spends his entire day in the basement pretending he has an internet radio show.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, or someplace, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and get ready to wrap your mind around who you should and shouldn't be taking advice from. I don't really need help with this, though. I've already got a guy for stock tips. Yep, my car guy hasn't steered me wrong yet, except for those call options on Blockbuster he told me to go all in on. Speaking of where to find great advice, our panel today is discussing why you shouldn't take investment advice from TV personalities. Plus, our regular guy who doesn't take advice from anyone is Len Penzo. And a woman who only takes financial advice from Brad Pitt, it's Lacey Langford. And our own in-house master of advice giving is OG. That's not all. We'll see which one of these knuckleheads, or Lacey, can win at my trivia question. And now, a guy who has plenty of personality, it's Joe Saul Sehat.
Well, hey, thank you, Doug. From one personality guy to another, welcome to Friday. I am Joe Saul Sehat, Average Joe Money on Twitter, and we are going to have some fun today because we are going to, well, we're going to go after some big time people that appear on TV, radio, podcast.
Sweet.
Get ready to put the boxing gloves on, OG. That voice you heard is the OG sitting across the card table from me. How are you, man?
I don't need boxing gloves. I'm a bare knuckler.
Oh, just who wants to cushion the blow? Nobody needs to cushion the blow. Just bring
more
it.
More cushion for the blowing. Wait.
No. That's no. And because deleted. we don't know where to go with that, let's go to the place deep under Los Angeles where Mr. Len Penzo joins us. Please get us out of this, Len.
I don't know if I can because OG has got me completely distracted now, and I'm just off topic now. So thanks, OG.
Nice, but things are good. You are bundled up. You look like it's winter time. It's winter time in Los Angeles, which I think of as like 75 and sunny, but apparently it's got to be what, negative 20 there? You're wearing a
The number in Fahrenheit starts with a 5, and it's been stuck on 5 for quite a long time. And if you're a native Southern Californian like I am, that's way, way too cold for even March or April, you know? So I'm cold. I admit it. I'm keeping my temperature, my thermostat low, so it's cold in the house, and I'm in the bunker. And so, yes, I'm bundled up. I'm guilty, and I'm ready for spring.
Oh, gee, I'm wondering how Amanda, who listens to us from Antarctica, like, how hard is she rolling her eyes right now hearing about Len's 50 degree pain? Or Tyson, right, who's in the Arctic Circle.
It's also 50 here, and I've had my hands in my sweatshirt pocket the whole day.
Oh, thank God you said sweatshirt pocket.
Terrified. Is that where your hand is? You know, I was wondering.
All that bare knuckle talk.
And that's a wrap. Great show, everybody. Good night.
It's good to see you, Josh. Oh, gee.
Whatever.
And there we go. It is all downhill from here. That voice you hear is the newest ex-member of the Stacky Benjamins team writing for us, and the host of the Military Money Podcast. And how many ands do you have, Lacey Langford? You've got like 7 ands. You also have a conference. What's going on?
Yes, Mill Money Con is coming up at the end of April to bring together financial professionals, but all the ands encompass military and money. So to make it easier.
These are all people that serve our military by being in the financial space?
Yes, or they're veterans. They served and they're helping the veteran population, or maybe not, but they served and they understand that background and wanted to get into the financial space as a new career after they left the military.
Oh, excellent. And how do people get more information?
MillMoneyCon.com is where you can find all the information about the conference, the schedule, and what you can expect.
And I know we have a lot of veterans, and we also have quite a few active duty members that listen to the show. So Military Money Show, available wherever they're listening to us now, right?
Yes, definitely.
Please tell me that your motto is Mill Money, Mill Problems.
No, but clearly I should have consulted you.
Yes, clearly not.
No charge for that one. The first one's a freebie.
Well, today we're talking about advice and where to get it from. And Lacey, I would start off by not taking that advice. We've got a great show today. We've got Lacey, we've got OG, we got Len, we even got Doug here. So let's get this party started. Oh, we can't start the party, Lacey. We have to tell you the rules of the road. So you got a second?
I do. And I would love to hear them because I want to make sure you guys aren't trying to pull one over on me.
No, we wouldn't do that. Listen to this. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Stackers, controlling your money on a day-to-day basis comes down to two things. Number one, great communication, either with yourself or with a partner. And by great communication, what do I mean? I mean, sitting down with your app of choice and putting together your strategy based on what you spent the week before. It's super easy. A 20-minute meeting a week. You look through your expenses and then you plot out, what are you going to do next week? And you know what? That might seem little, but the big things stem from that. And if you have an app that keeps that in front of you, that helps make it even easier. And the app Cheryl and I use is Monarch Money. We've been using it now for about a year. As you may know, I've used lots of different solutions, and this is by far the one I've stuck with the longest. It helps Cheryl and I collaborate. We can talk about our financial goals. For us, it's travel. We're also adding to our house. We have a goal in a few years to really work on our lawn as well and just make it a pretty place to live. But the travel piece, as you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, that's a big one. And what's cool is I can put our financial independence goals and our journey up right next to our budget, because everything at Monarch is very intuitive. It is very customizable. So what the heck is Monarch? You're sitting there wondering to yourself, aren't you? Person I just made up. Yes. Let me tell you what it is. It's an all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you comprehensive view of all your accounts, your investments, your transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track your progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, Stackers, because you're a Stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. Got to have the slash Benjamins to get the extended 30-day free trial so you can see that you'll like it as much as I do. How does it work? Well, it's very intuitive. It has a simple, intuitive design that makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can collaborate with your partner, family, or your financial advisor. What's cool is you can invite all these people to your account at no extra cost, so you can collaborate and everybody gets their own login info and everybody gets a joint view of your finances. And as I mentioned earlier, it's customizable, and best yet, it's ad-free privacy you can trust. No ads. You're not being marketed. When I had other apps that were free, I got marketed all the time. Well, not only do they not do that, they also don't sell your data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself and using it for about a year now on a daily basis, I totally get why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a Stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's Monarch Money, monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial.
And we just pulled one over on her.
Yes!
Got her!
The hazing started already, Langford. The hazing has already begun.
Good thing I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, let's roll. At first, I usually, during these shows, I tell everybody what piece we're referring to. Normally, on these Friday shows, if you're new to our community, we talk about a piece that's popular in the financial media landscape, maybe a blog post. But today, this was something that a lot of Stackers sent to me. They're like, you guys got to talk about this. So I'm going to play it. This is from The Daily Show, and this is comedian Hasan Minhaj talking about where we get our advice from. Let's listen in.
The reason why I wanted to have this conversation is over the past 2.5 years, I don't know if you felt this during COVID, a lot of us were at home. A lot of people were going through uncertainty. I had a lot of friends that lost their jobs. And there is this deep angst within a lot of us. I feel it with my friends, my generation. They're hitting an age where life is starting to choke them out. They're hurtling through time. People are getting married. People are trying to buy their first home. People are trying to have a little bit of a nest egg to have some sort of financial cushion to cover school, healthcare, aging parents, etc. And the way salaries are now, you have to 10x your money. And so what happened during this period of time is a lot of the financial cable hot take podcast people, advertently or inadvertently, were giving their takes, and people at home were listening to them and go, well, clearly, he's smart, he's a venture capitalist. Why don't I take an active position in my betterment and do what he does? The difference is, and what I was telling Mr. O'Leary was, you're at a different tax bracket than them. You can take the losses and retail can't. And unless you give up your whole position, like I said, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. This is my net worth, this is what I'm being paid, this is how much I'm investing, this is how much of my personal money I'm investing. We don't know. And what that does to the millions of people that listen, it creates a lot of risk and damage. And I feel for those people because they get left holding the bag and they get left behind. So I hope people remember that the next time they watch any of these shows or these podcasts, they have to keep in mind, hey, we'll never know what their position really is. So maybe I need to take what they say with a grain of salt. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if it was actually, hey, put your money in an index fund, 85% index fund, 15% bond or whatever, the way what our dads told us, there wouldn't be any of these shows. There wouldn't be any of them. Squawk Box, CNBC, they wouldn't exist.
Anyway, he then goes on to talk about the ecosystem and how their whole ecosystem is based on you taking all this advice. Let's start off before we get to the advice. Lacey, let's start with you. Are you feeling the same thing that Hassan says he's feeling, this idea? He said life starting to choke them out, right? All of a sudden they're at the age of like, whoa, wait a minute. I got to get started on this. I got to find some advice. I got to catch up. I got to make something happen in my life. Are you feeling that too?
Well, first of all, I thought it was very suspicious that he mentioned choke out and marriage right there together. Like, I feel like he might be projecting some of that. Like, his marriage is stressful to him.
A Freudian slip.
Maybe there's a little more going on.
I feel like I'm not off to a good start. What I meant was clearly his marriage is stressing him out. I swear I want to come back. Len, please don't
drag me into you're in this mess by yourself, Lacey. Don't drag me into
depravity.
Well, what I would really say is I feel like as you get older, yes, life humbles you, things get more stressful, you're juggling more, a job, marriage, kids. Sometimes plans don't work out and that can get more stressful. When you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you do need help. You're looking elsewhere because if not, you're going to get the same result. And I think that's why people follow personalities or are looking online, listening to podcasts, watching shows, because they're seeking information because they need some type of relief.
Hassan is 37 years old. Len, do you think that it is angst now with COVID and people his age, like he said, or when you started, when you turned 37, when you were in your mid 30s, did you all of a sudden go, oh, you know what I mean? Like, hey, this is for real. We're not playing anymore. 20s are now gone. It's time to get the show on the road. Is this an age thing or is this really a COVID thing?
You know what? I think it's just an age thing. I think we all, regardless of whether COVID or not, we all kind of have that kind of, there's a point in our lives where the light bulb kind of goes on. You kind of think, hey, this is real. Life is real. All these things, I've got to be safe looking towards the future. And where am I? And do a little self-assessment. I think it's just natural. I think it's human nature. I mean, that even happened to me probably in my mid-30s as well. I mean, that's when you really start saying, gosh, you know, I only have so many years and I've got these goals and I really got to get serious about it.
Oh, gee, assuming that you agree. And I saw you nod your head, so I think you agree. But assuming that you do you think that COVID made it worse? All of us being home and then starting to search for answers, did it make it worse?
I don't know. I mean, I think the boredom of it probably didn't help. Certainly all the extra money didn't help as it relates to like trying to figure out what to do with it all the excess savings that people had access to. But I think that the biggest problem with all of this is thinking that there's not enough time, because you make decisions based on the amount of time that you have left. Len, you said, you know, you wake up one day and you go like, oh crap, I only have so many more years or what, you know, whatever. But we underappreciate the value that compounding gives us, the outcome. And we think like, oh my gosh, I'm 40. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people who say, we feel so far behind, we're 42, and we've only got A, B, C, D. And that's just such an interesting phrase. And I hear it all the time of, we've only got, or we've only managed to, you know, like it's some sort of death sentence or some sort of, you know, malady that needs to be fixed because like, oh my gosh, I've only saved, you know, insert dollar amount here, as opposed to thinking like, holy crap, look at all the money that you have saved. Look at the stuff that you have been able to do. You know, we don't give ourselves enough grace, I think, especially as we're growing and looking back over that growth time, because, yeah, I would have done about 150,000 things differently, given the opportunity to go backwards in time, you know, to being 18 or 20 or something. I'd have done a whole bunch of different stuff. But I can also recognize that when I was 30, I wasn't purposefully in my mind going, yeah, I'm totally going to screw up my life by doing this. This is exactly, you know, like you make the decisions, the best decisions you can at the time with the information that you have. So I think that we have to recognize that there's more time there than maybe we're giving ourselves credit for, so to speak.
Do you feel like, Lacey, then these people on TV, radio, podcasts that Hassan is alluding to, he seems to be alluding to the fact that they're taking advantage of this, right? They're taking advantage of people that think they're behind. Would you agree with that assessment that there's a lot of people on TV, on the radio that are trying to make money off the fact that you feel like you need a shortcut?
I think that there are people that do that. I mean, and people are trying to make a living. But on the whole, most people are just trying to share knowledge to help improve somebody else's life. I think, especially like in the personal finance space, we all are united in the fact that we are trying to improve somebody's life, their quality of life, their financial life, and we all go about it differently. And I think that applies to people that are online as well. It might not be the way that I would project that information. I might be a little bit more clear, give a little bit more background and, you know, context for the information that I'm giving versus somebody else that is just throwing it out there and not bringing up the specifics of situations and things like that. So I don't think that the majority of people do it intentionally. I do think people are trying to make a living. And if they can share their knowledge and find a way to make money off of that, then that's what they're doing. But I don't think it's intentionally at the cost of somebody else's emotional well-being.
Yeah. OG was talking about angst, you know, and Joe's bringing that up. I can see why people have angst at maybe 35 or in their early 30s or even in their mid to late 30s. They have angst. They haven't saved enough. And the reason is, if you've seen some of these websites, some of these large websites that the finance websites, these are commercial websites. And have you ever seen those stories where it says, you know, they're like letters to the help desk and it says, yeah, I'm 35 years old. I've saved, $1 million. And what do I have to do to continue my retirement? And there's tons of those stories. It's like these, you've got something, there's so many people out there with in their early 30s, mid 30s, and supposedly they've saved $1 million, $2 million. And I can see how other people look at that and go, gosh, here I am with, I got $100,000 saved. I must be doing something wrong. When I think a lot of those letters are BS, to be quite honest with you. I think they're clickbait. And I think people take those and they think that those are real people. There might be a few people like that, but there aren't a lot of people like that who have saved millions of dollars or $1 million in their 30s. It just isn't.
Reminds me of letters from a magazine I used to read in my youth, Len.
Yeah, I think I had that magazine too.
I never thought this would happen to me, but every word of what you're about to read is true.
I never believed I could save this much money.
But do you see that though? I mean, if you see that, I see that all the time on these websites. It's like, my goodness, where are these young people saving all this money so fast? I don't get it.
Every financial blogger will tell you, and you know this because you've been blogging way longer than I have, that whenever any blogger discloses how much money they have, supposedly, right? We can't fact check them. But when they put their numbers out there and they're like, I've saved X amount of money this month, this year, whatever, they all will tell you their numbers go through the roof. Because to Doug's porn illusion earlier, that we do.
I am appalled, Joseph, that you would make such an accusation.
It is financial pornography. To get that stuff to go, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I get to look and see what their numbers are. Like that is,
that's amazing. That's a great way to put it. Yep.
But yeah, those CNBC pieces that we see all the time, so-and-so saved X amount, you know, we did one last week. So-and-so, you know, retired at age 44 and they didn't disclose how much money, but damn, they retired at 44 and you think you're behind because of that. But do you agree? Len, let's stick with you for a second. Do you agree with his take on these, quote, advice givers that because they're in a different position, the stakes aren't the same for them?
You know what? I think a lot of them have self-interest. Honest to goodness, I think a lot of these people, they'll recommend things that they're in and they have been in, and it'll cause people to jump in too. And then by the time you hear a good tip, it's too late. It's too late. And I just think there's a little self-interest involved with a lot of these people. They're trying to steer you into things that they're in so they can cash out. That's how I feel. I don't ever take these people's words for granted at all.
OG, you agree?
Well, probably that seems to be the case that there's more disclosure rules now, especially like on TV and stuff, where these personalities have to mention, you know, whether or not they own the position and stuff, but it's more of a parenthetical at the end of the conversation and, you know, a screen grab type deal, you know, it's like, And to be fair, Bill's firm owns these 10 positions that he mentioned. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't know. Does he own them? Is he short them? Is he whatever? So, yeah, there could be a little self-interest in there, I suppose. I mean, when we were talking about or when we were thinking about the, you know, the finance bros on TV, I was thinking about the TikTok people.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The insurance, yes. Whole life insurance TikTok people, whatever their little scam was called. Yeah, I said scam. Come at me, bro. Give you a knuckle sandwich, a bare knuckle sandwich, whether you want it or not. But yeah, I mean, there's always some sort of, you got to be careful, I guess. I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt, like Len said.
Is it important, you think, Lacey, for advice givers to be in the same position as their audience? He talks about because they're in a different position. If you're taking advice from people, do you want them in the same position that you're in?
No, because I know what that feels like. You know, if I'm seeking out information, I'm looking for somebody that knows a better way to do it or can give me a better understanding, lessons that they've learned the hard way so I don't have to do it myself. I don't think you necessarily have to be in the same position, but that's just like people talking about money that aren't in the military. If you're trying to coach somebody about finances, never serve, there are some nuances that you might not understand the struggle that they've been through in their lifestyle. So I could understand wanting to get information from somebody that's had that experience and kind of in that same boat, but not necessarily at the same place, especially financially.
I want to go back for a second because I can't stop thinking about OG, about this idea that you said, you know, there's all these disclosure rules. And yet, man, all the time when you're online, you see these people flaunt those. I mean, there's a person who's very popular right now who always says her favorite financial products when she's on Instagram. And I'll read all these, quote, favorite financial products, no disclosure. And these are all affiliate links. Like every single one of these, she's getting a commission on. And this idea, OG, of disclosure is just flaunted. Like I feel like there's no oversight at all. I don't know. Lacey, have you seen the same?
Yes. I see it online all the time. And I'm confused on why they, one, wouldn't say that they receive some type of financial gain for that. And why they wouldn't mention that there might be other products. This might not be, these are all the products. This is the one I use. So I feel like there should be some comparison there for people to make their own decision and list out why I like to use these products or what the benefit is. I feel like there should be more information because there are people out there that are impressionable, that are just trying to find knowledge. And if a person that they're following resonates with them, they might be inclined to just go with that because they're a decision fatigue. They don't know what else to do. So this is the easiest path, the path of least resistance for them to click on that and just sign up. And they didn't have all the knowledge to make that decision. So I don't think that's smart of the people that do it.
You know, what I think when I'm listening to people and they're giving advice on maybe something to buy or not, I take them a little more seriously when they give both sides of the story. So they'll say, well, you should buy this because A, B, C, and D. But it would be very helpful, and I would have a little more faith in their recommendations if they said, but here's some risks, here's some downsides that you should also consider, A, B, C. And at least that gives you, puts the power back into your hands, allows you to make a decision and weigh the pros and cons yourself, rather than just getting a list of all pros, which most of these people do. They'll say, yeah, well, you should be buying this because blah, blah, blah. They never talk about, well, maybe what else should you consider on the opposite end? So that's something I think to look for before you take somebody seriously on a recommendation.
Like the downsides of the prescription.
Correct. Right? Yeah, you got to have both sides.
Yes. You know, Hassan here thinks that he's right. Well, I mean, he's very adamant that he's right. And at the end, he talks about, you know, 85% stock index fund, 15% bonds that he refers to. Like he throws it out there, OG, like that's right. How'd you feel when he said that?
Well, it was a little ironic that he gave advice when he was arguing about people online giving advice.
I thought so, too.
But that's a great example of how quickly a conversation can turn into, you know, what you want to hear. We've done 1,300 and some odd podcast episodes. We tell people all the time, this is just a conversation. This isn't meant to be particular advice for you. But I bet there's people that have gone, yeah, it's close enough for me. You know, like, that's good enough. If it's good enough for those guys, it's good enough for me. Kind of like what you were saying, you know, without any due diligence and that sort of thing. I'd like to think that we're not part of the problem, but rather part of the solution. But I do think it's important to think of it that way.
Yeah, I think we definitely have to dig in. And in the second half, we're going to do exactly that, guys. We're going to dig into what filter should we apply when we hear this stuff. Are there any takeaways we should take away from some of these shows like Shark Tank and other advice, Jim Cramer, whoever the person might be on TV? Where should I get advice from? And exactly how do I process all of it? But before we do that, at the halftime of every show, we have this year-long trivia competition between our three contributors, OG, Len, and Paulette Perhatch. Lacey, you're on Team Paulette right now. That means some good news and some bad news. You want the good news first or the bad news?
I'll start with the bad.
Well, the bad news is that you are tied for last place, which brings up the good news. Because your team took last place last year, you get to go last because you're tied with Len, who finished second last year. You have three, Len has three, and OG has four. So the race...
What was the score again?
3-3-4.
Just checking.
Yes. Oh, he just wanted to be... I got it. I'm a little slow on the uptake there. So OG's going to go first, Len will go second, and Lacey, you get to throw the dart last. But first, we need something to throw it at. And I believe, Doug, you've got today's famous birthday and today's trivia question.
That's right, Joe. Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And today, we celebrate the birthday of Jackie Chan. You know, when you think of my old pal, Jackie, you don't realize we both have a ton in common. First, we both are multidisciplinary professionals. Jackie, you know, he's got the martial arts thing and he's an actor. Me, well, you know, I'm not only an esteemed podcast announcer. To be clear, I am esteemed, not the podcast. I've also acted. I was in that grossly misunderstood home video Joe's mom took back in 06 where I played the part of the guy being kicked out of a Thanksgiving dinner party. I was acting in that one. Like, I didn't know you were supposed to wear a shirt. I should have won an Emmy for my role in that video. Jackie also had a misunderstood role, like that epic remake back in 2004, Around the World in 80 Days. Ah, Jules Verne, imagine what he would have done if he'd been alive to see karate in the screen version of his film. As you know, his original had no karate, sadly, but he did include a wager. Phineas Fogg wagered that he'd make it around the world in 80 days or less. So, let's make that our question. If this bet, which took place in 1873, had happened today, and if the average inflation rate had been 3% per year, and it happened in U.S. dollars instead of British pounds, how much money did Fogg wager? I'll be back with the answer right after I go polish up my resume in case another acting gig comes along.
And just to be clear, Doug, as if there's anything clear about that question, just to be clear, Jules Verne did not have the first movie. He actually wrote a book, and then there was no karate in the book. Not in the...
Really?
Yeah, sorry, the spoiler. Oh. I realized you were about to read it. By the way, Jules Verne, imagine if Jules Verne were alive today. Len, you know what Jules Verne would say if he were alive right now?
Are you going to go to commercial right now? If I... No. Is that...
Everybody's so paranoid. You ask him a question and they think you're sucking them in.
What would Jules Verne say if he were alive right now?
Is this time for the magnify money spot?
I asked him a straightforward question.
Joe's got this great... He's got this great joke, and you've totally blown the setup.
Shut up. I can't even tell it now. I can't even tell it. It was going so damn well.
I don't know, Joe. What would Jules Verne say if he were alive today?
Let me out of this coffin.
So bad. So bad.
What, too soon, Lacey? Is it too soon? still weeping over the over that one. All right.
I wonder why Paulette's off today.
Paulette's like, I'm never coming back. All right, OG, you're starting us off. So we had this bet back in 1873 in British pounds. If it had been in dollars and the bet were today, 3% inflation per year, how much money?
How much was the bet? Do we know that?
Nah. Can't tell you. That is the key.
Make it too easy.
There's so many layers to your guesses. Okay, on this
I was
one.
Like, this is just math.
I didn't know there was going to be word problems.
Exactly.
I gotcha. So it happened in 1873.
Len says that, by the way, as if he knows how much the bet was. Do you know how much the bet was?
No, I don't.
Len?
But I know that's why you didn't give the dollar amount or the pounds amount, because we could figure it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of us could.
A lot closer anyway.
We need to see everybody's hands up so we know there's no Googleization happening.
150 years.
Nobody's Googling.
So it's 25. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I have to know how much the original bet was and add inflation to it. Is that the question?
Exactly. Yes. And then convert from pounds to dollars.
Some of us are just going to be taking a stab in the dark.
Consider the positions of the galactic bodies.
I don't think that matters, Doug.
I know you guys are doing this because it's my first time.
We're just trying to buy OG some time here.
I feel like I should know this. Is this common knowledge? Like how much the original bet was?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
I read the book in Latin originally, and so they
can. No, you didn't.
If it'll make you feel any better, I have no freaking clue what the award was. So I figured out about what the inflation would be, but I have no freaking clue what the bet was. So I'm going to be winging it.
Okay.
We did a review of the latest version of this. It was a PBS special that was really, really good. It was great TV. We did that during a segment of the show that might or might not appear on some people's podcast.
I'm going to say
screen.
That the bet was, in today's dollars, adjusted for inflation and pounds, obviously, $379,000.
He sets the bar at $379,000. Mr. Penzo?
Well, okay. So the British pound way back then, that was really worth quite a few more dollars than
To be fair, Len, I did the conversion as if that you converted it right now.
Oh, and today? Oh, okay. So at the current exchange rate. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. I don't know what the conversion rate was.
It's much closer. So yeah. I'll be with, okay. So, and if I've done my inflation correct, it's about six times inflation at 3% to today, whatever that number is. So you want, so you said 370 some thousand OG. So
something
you're
like that.
Guessing that they back then the bet was the thing was for 6 divided by 370, about $60,000. And I'm giving the answer in today's money.
Yes.
In today's money.
And hope sometime today also would be nice.
I appreciate the stall, Len.
Well, okay. I will say $300,000, 50,000 times six.
$300,000. Lacey.
I guess I can't say $1.
Yeah, you can.
It's closest
you can.
To.
It's just closest to.
It's not Price is Right style anymore.
Dang it. Okay. I actually think it's more. I'm just going to pick a round number because I am completely taking a stab in the dark. I think $400,000.
So we got 370 something. We've got 300,000.
I guess that's wrong.
And 400,000. Well,
300 and something, and the winner of 400 and something.
No, I don't know. I don't remember the last digit. Was 370 what, Doug? 379
is.
Yes. And it was 370 something, which is very close, OG. It is very, very close. I just didn't know which one. 300,000, 400,000. We'd love to tell you who wins, and we'll do that in just a minute. This Len, is where we put the break, okay?
What?
This is where we put the break for the advertisers, right here. After I say 3, 2, 1, we do it right here. Let's find out.
What would the advertiser say? Let me out of my contract.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right, OG, you started this thing off at $379,000. How you feeling?
Well, based on your commentary, not very good.
I just couldn't remember the third digit.
Oh, but if it was close, you would have remembered it.
Okay. Len, $300,000. How you feeling?
I'm feeling excellent, actually. If only because OG is... he's really pinned in between me and Lacey. So
you feel best about that.
That's how you like it.
Being pinned in between me and I bet you do.
I'm the meat to your sandwich.
Somebody is on the losing end of this deal.
Pick your hands up. Pick your hands up, OG.
It rhymes with Spacey.
Lacey, you're at $400,000. Besides this commentary, how are you feeling about that?
A little shaky, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I don't want to Paul let down.
I'd be feeling shaky about this whole thing. That's nothing to do with the trivia. Doug, who's our winner, man?
Well, stackers, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio lookalike and semi-pro acting coach Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And today, we're celebrating Jackie Chan's birthday by hearkening back to his misunderstood classic film, Around the World in 80 Days. Also starring Steve Coogan as Phineas Fogg and featuring Pierce Brosnan. That man's handsome. And with a cameo by Kathy Bates, I haven't loved a film that much since Speed 2 Cruise Control. Missed that one too? Well, apology accepted. Let's get you your trivia answer. How big was Phineas Fogg's bet that he could go around the world in 80 days? The bet in British pounds was 20,000 pounds, or at an average inflation rate of 3% per year, today would be the equivalent of about $2 million, meaning Lacey is our winner.
What? That is...
I accidentally was giving you the wrong sound effect there, Lacey.
I don't think that was wrong at all.
There it is. The crowd goes wild. That one is probably better than this one. Although that's what Lacey's thinking for being a part of this.
Wow. That leaves Len all alone in last place.
Len.
What was the number? What was the number?
2 million.
The original?
Today's dollars, 2 million, 20,000 pounds.
20,000 pounds.
20,000 pounds. So you're saying that was what? By today's exchange standard was what? $25,000?
On the exchange.
Exchange rate is 1.25 today.
Yeah, so 1.25. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like $25,000.
Yeah. The thing that you and I both screwed up, Len, because I did the math on it. We both thought six because we go, 3%, it doubles every 25 years.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yep. Exactly.
The problem is that the doubling also has some inflation. You know what I mean? Like the compounding nature of it.
Yeah. Yes. The compounding on the compounding. Yeah. I just did a calculator here. It says,
and the 25 years is like 2.1x. So it turns into 85x.
I bet you guys are so much fun at bar trivia. Like just really getting it.
If I had used a calculator, I'd have been a lot closer.
Lacey's like, listen to these men who can't handle defeat.
Their male
egos will not allow them to not be right all the time.
I thought Lacey was just saying, these guys would be great at parties. Just amazing. Yeah, when I calculated the interest on the exchange.
You need to clear the room quickly.
Exchange rate. Yes.
All right, time for the second half of our discussion. Second half of this is brought to you by Magnify Money. Lacey, you know what happens when you go to stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney?
No clue.
You say, let me out of this. No, you don't. You find out that those brick and mortar banks might not be best in class. Over 85% of the 92% actually of all of the internet banks rated head-to-head at Magnify Money for our savings accounts, checking accounts, CD rates, and more. StackyBenjamins.com/Magnify Money. All right, to kick off the second half of this, I want to play another piece from Hasan Minhaj. And, well, let's just give this a listen.
Over the past couple of years, I've been noticing something. Do you guys feel like scam artists are everywhere? Yeah. Right? You obviously heard about FTX, right? Yeah. The cryptocurrency exchange that lost $8 billion of investor deposits based on the reputation of this electrocuted 9-year-old. Yeah. It was insane. But you know what was crazier? The people who helped him do it.
I'm excited to be partnering with FTX to help make crypto accessible for everyone. I'm all in. Are you?
With FTX, I have everything I need to buy, sell, and trade crypto safely.
I'm trading crypto. FTX is the safest and easiest way to buy and sell crypto. It's the best way to get in the game.
If there's ever a place I could be that I'm not going to get in trouble, it's going to be at FTX.
Wow, Kevin.
Kevin Leary, Steph Curry, Shaq, and Tom Brady there pushing FTX. They talk also then about the guy that took over FTX afterwards, and he said that the people involved and the people who got scammed were the most unsophisticated investors he's ever seen, and that the problem was also very unsophisticated. By the way, this was the guy who oversaw the Enron bankruptcy, saying that this was worse. People really, really got taken.
Is that kind of like Forbes? 2023, America's best bank.
And number one.
The 6th of March, Silicon Valley Bank.
Silicon Valley Bank, Forbes. This brings us up then, Lacey. Obviously, Shaq's going to be okay. Tom Brady's going to be okay. Somebody would have listened to this and said, well, heck, if Shaq's behind it, Tom Brady's behind it. One of these guys said, I'm all in. I think Steph Curry said, I'm all in, right? Kevin O'Leary says, hey, you're going to be safe. There's no safer place to be. These people are going to be fine. The people they're talking to Hasan's point, are not. So where do we start with our filter when it comes to some of these online ads we see?
Well, I think you should do some research, take some ownership of the decisions you make, not just because Shaq said to do it, you should do it. You might want to take that information, do some of your own research, and really think about where you're at. If you aren't saving $50 a month, you might not want to be going into crypto. Start with the basics. I don't think you should look up to somebody that you loved for basketball and think they're going to give me great investing advice. I would bounce that off of somebody else, maybe your, you know, financial planner advisor or information other places on the internet. I just wouldn't take it on a spoon. Just because Shaq said to do it, you know, I would want to do some of my own research and think things through before I would make that kind of commitment with my money.
Oh, gee, a family member when I was in college told me that I should really get an IRA with an annuity in it. And so I called up his broker, and thank goodness the broker was not as interested in a tiny little commission from a college kid as he was giving me advice, but he told me about the basics.
You still have that annuity.
I would still have it.
Gift that keeps on giving.
But he said, no, you should probably pay off your student loans and get an emergency fund first and then call me back, he said. And then we'll talk about what the right thing is, he said. So I agree with Lacey, but then back then I didn't know where to look. I had no idea where to look. You know, the next place I looked, the Motley Fool was one of the first places I looked, where they're telling me about which individual stocks to buy. I also didn't, you know, not ripping the Motley Fool, just saying I probably don't want to begin with individual stock. So where does my research begin? Picking up where Lacey left off.
When it comes to thinking about your investing, it's really important to recognize that, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, if there's any sort of something in it for somebody else, that doesn't make it necessarily bad. It just makes you have to be aware of it. If the only thing that you have available to you is one particular tool, if you're reading a stock newsletter that you have to pay money to get, what do you think that they're trying to sell? They're not going to try to sell something different. If you're talking to an insurance person who sells annuities and whole life insurance, they're not going to tell you to do something different because their interests are not aligned with yours. You know, when it comes to gathering your information, I Lacey said, to kind of take some responsibility about, you know, where you're getting your info. I think that's important to just go, well, what's in it for them? Like, that doesn't mean it's bad. You know, a lot of times we talk about the different ways that planners or advisors, you know, are paid, and should you pay a percentage, or should you pay a flat fee, or should you pay monthly, should it be commission, or all commission people are evil, or, you know, whatever. There's no wrong way to do it. There's a great reason to pay commissions. If you plan on never changing your investments ever again, you should pay a commission one time. That's the least expensive option. Why would you not choose that? Well, because then you have to pay again later if you decide to change your mind. We buy cars and we don't argue with the fact that the person gets a commission to sell us a car, right? That's just kind of part of the deal. Real estate is probably the most egregious component of this, that they're, you know, 5 or 6% commission rate, and we all just are okay with it. There's other competing companies that are trying to solve that. But the compensation model doesn't necessarily make or break the advice component of it. What I think makes or breaks the advice component is, what's their angle? And if all they have is this one particular tool, then it may be the right thing or it may not be. The FTX thing is just comical.
Yeah. Oh my, that's so bad. Just, you know, hearing those guys, I'm all in.
I mean, did you not see it though? In all honesty, when the vast majority of Super Bowl ads 2 years ago, when Matt Damon has the big ads, the big $10 million ad, and I don't think it was for FTX, but maybe it was, future favors the bold.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the whole story about, like, we wouldn't have America if Columbus wouldn't have gone across the ocean and burned the boats. And, you know, I mean, he didn't do that. That was a different story, but you know, I'm mixing stories, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, just the indigenous people.
If you couldn't see the writing on the wall of this is peak crazy right now, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, let's get away from the commercials, Len, and talk about some of the shows out there. I mean, Cramer, who I do have a lot of respect for, but Cramer was talking about what a great bank Silicon Valley Bank was just before it was taken over by FDIC, much like OG said, you know, Fortune had it as a top bank. Shark Tank, right? You see these sharks going after each other. Should we watch these shows? Should we have any takeaway from these shows like Cramer or Shark Tank or some of the others? Property Brothers?
I mean, it's information. You can take the information and you can do with it what you wish. I wouldn't take it at face value. And real quick, I want to go back though to the FTX. You know, the one actor who came out smelling like a rose in that FTX was Larry David, because it was his commercial where he was saying, nah, you don't want to do that. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see it? It's like he turned down every great idea ever invented, you know. And so when they came to him with FTX, he said, nah, that's not a good idea either. And he still got paid and he came out smelling like a rose. But what I'd like to talk about basically is, how do you choose? How do you know where to start? Instead of taking advice from just somebody at face value, I think the easiest way to start is you start at a really high level at the 100,000 foot, and you take baby steps and you work your way down as you get smarter, you are digesting information. So at the very top level, at 100,000 feet, the first thing you want to figure out is, and you can do this on your own, is how much risk do you want to take? You set up how you're going to diversify your portfolio that way. How much is going to go into bonds? How much do you want to put into stocks? How much do you want to put into some risky speculative investments? Stuff like that. Then you want to go down to the next level, like say the 50,000 foot view. Okay, which stock indices do you want to start focusing on? Maybe you just take a look at those. Do you want to look at the Dow with the industrials? Do you want to look at small companies like the Russell 2000? Do you want to look at tech like NASDAQ? Start there. And then you want to look at sectors. Okay. This is before you're even looking at individual stocks. Now you want to learn about sectors. Go into the various sectors that are out there. You want to look in the healthcare sector, the energy sector, the mining sector, and read up on that stuff and just say, hey, you know, the mining sector looks good, or the energy sector looks good, or what have you. But just start educating yourself there. Then once you've gotten to that, then you can start making informed decisions, looking at companies and deciding, yeah, that company looks good in this sector versus others that don't. But start high and educate yourself gradually down. In the meantime, you can fill those holes at the higher levels with like stock indices as opposed to just buying individual stocks. That's how I did it.
And that's the miracle of J.D. Collins' book, by the way. That is the miracle. You can buy one index, Len, and not have to worry about any of that, right? I mean, it's not the most Correct. Efficient way to get there, but you could just stay at the 100,000 foot level and you're gonna be okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Doug, you were making a hand motion.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a time for Len to drop the mic, it was right there. I mean, that was like a whole treatise you just put together, Len. That was amazing. My jaw was on the desk. That's when you just go boom and you just sign off right there. We never hear from Len again. He just rides off into the sunset.
And there goes Len.
Yeah. I was just trying to prompt him to drop the mic.
Doug, you know I love you. You don't have to do that. I love you anyways, man. You're my bro.
I don't need to blow sunshine up your skirt like that.
You know I love you.
Lacey, please save us. How do I start with getting my advice?
Well, I would look at it too as inspiration, not advice. If you're hearing all these people talk about things, start with inspiration. Like, what did I find interesting about that I could research further? And then I think understanding who you are and being confident in that to say, hey, I'm not Beyonce. I'm not jumping on stage tonight and killing it. I might want to start at like local theater, you know? So if you don't have a basic understanding of investing, you might want to start with your HR department and understanding your 401k. That might be a great place to get information. Or if you are spending more than you make, it might be a great place to start with. Let me build up my savings. So I think really doing some self-reflection first is important. And then that helps you make better decisions that I'm not just going to put 10 grand on the blackjack table because I don't understand the game. I might want to start with $10 and take a tutorial.
Oh, gee.
All I could think about was blackjack. And that sounds like a fun way to spend an afternoon.
Sure does. Like,
I mean, maybe not 10 grand. That might be a little out of control, but
I want to go if you've got 10 grand.
Yeah.
Take me to the $2 table.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So dealer, do I split the sevens? That's the kind of advice he's looking for.
Yes. Yes, you should. The tens, you know, split the queens.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do I start off? But with my advice filter?
Well, I can't say anything better than what Lacey said, which is find the people that you like. Do some research on where you are and think about it as like a starting point. It doesn't have to be the thing that is the only solution, right? Just because Joe says to do it or OG says to do it or whatever the case may be, that doesn't mean that that's the thing that's particularly specific for you, but it can point you in the right direction and kind of lead you down the path of discovering what is most important for you. That's probably the best way to handle kind of all of the, you know, thousands of places you get information. I mean, it's no different than what we already do. We don't immediately jump on the diet weight loss pill. That's all the rage.
Xanax.
No, it's GLP-1s or something like that. You know, it's basically some off brand or some off label purpose. Yeah. It's like but it's a class of pill. Anyways, it's meant to treat some disease, but they found that people are losing a whole bunch of weight. So they're like, sweet, I'll just take that. And like, that's easy. But now what's coming out? Well, it's not necessarily the best way to lose weight. You know, magically taking a pill is probably not the way to do it. And I think most people would recognize that, but it starts the conversation. Okay. Directionally, what do I have to do to improve my health? And maybe one of those solutions is medication. That's perfectly fine. But you do it in the context of, you know, a well-rounded health plan, not just grab like Doug always does, just pop a couple of little blue ones and it'll be fine.
Fixes so many problems. Oh, wait, the blue one?
4 hours later, is it the emergency room?
Hey, Doug, again. Good to see you.
I think I've got an account there.
Get his bed ready.
Right. I'm not
hit
as
me with that needle.
I'm not as happy to see you as you think I am. This whole show, just, man, I think that's a good place to leave it. Unless, do you guys have any more advice around this, or can we call it a day? I think we're probably
good. Do your due diligence.
Yes.
Unlike what Doug does.
I think that's a great place to leave it. Let's find out what's going on where all you guys are. OG, anything planned for this beautiful weekend we have in Texas?
Well, it's Easter weekend here, which is nice. I'm out of town, so Mrs. OG is not exactly happy that I'm not hanging with the family this Easter weekend, but I'm going to race home on Sunday morning.
Just so you can find all the eggs before those damn kids do?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we do have the golden egg.
I know. They always take all the Easter bunny stuff.
Yep. Silly, silly children.
Yeah. Mr. Penzo, what's going on at lenpenzo.com?
You know what? My porch light went out recently, and I had
to... A euphemism?
Yeah. Well, let me... Thank you.
You give the light the blue pill? Did you give the light the blue pill?
So I've called the authorities.
The light went out and I had to go get a replacement. And the decision was, well, geez, do I get another incandescent bulb or do I get one of those CFL bulbs, those, you know, energy saving CFL bulbs, which are more expensive, by the way, than the incandescents. It's, you know, like three times more. And so what I did is I went and I actually ran the numbers and show you how to figure out whether the CFL bulbs are really worth the extra money or is it better just to buy the incandescent bulbs. So I know that sounds really exciting to everybody out there, but that's what I did. And if you're interested in how the numbers came out, come on by to lenpenzo.com. I'd love to see you.
Are the CFL bulbs the ones they light up the stadiums with up there in Canada? Is that why they call them CFL bulbs? No?
Canadian Football League?
No? Yeah, no. That's what I thought. No? No. It's a whole different thing. All right? Just no idea. Lacey Langford, not only are you helping us by writing shows, you've got a ton of stuff. And by the way, thank you so much for joining our team. I'm so excited that you're here with us, even though you have to work with these people. I feel bad for you, but you've got so much stuff that you're doing. You're helping our military members, which is one of a million reasons why I love partnering with you. But what's going on at the Military Money Show? Let's start there.
Well, nothing quite as fascinating as Len has going on with the light bulbs. But
Lacey, for a minute there, I thought you were helping me, but now I'm not so sure looking at your face right now.
No, I'm sorry. To be honest, my brain is so into Mil Money Con, which, shameless plug, OG will be speaking at.
All right.
When do I have to be there again?
Oh, please be there.
Just kidding. I got it in my calendar and everything. My
invite must be lost in the mail.
I'm going to be, yes, put you on public blast if you don't show up. No, super happy you're coming. But this weekend, I am trying to turn everything off and spend time with family to have a very competitive egg hunt. So that is a big family project to work on that. We have a lot of boys, so it's going to be probably full contact Easter egg hunt. There's money involved. All the eggs. Easter egg. when there's a lot of money on the line.
Why is our 8-year-old in a ghillie suit?
That's actually a great pro tip. I'm going to run that by my kids. They need to outshine my nieces and nephews. So ghillie suit might be a really great idea. So that's what I have going on. Family time and prepping for Mil Money Con, which will be coming up in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. And not nearly, by the way, as much of a contact sport as at Len's house where they're hunting CFL bulbs. That's what they do at the Penzo household. Put a few of those out. Lacey, give us the URL again if people want more.
MilMoneyCon.com.
Awesome. And the Military Money Show. Who's coming up on the Military Money Show?
George Campbell is coming up on the show to talk about baby steps for getting out of debt for the military community.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. If you're a member of the military community and you're not listening to Lacey's show, what are you waiting for? She's hilarious. She's a great guest on. The shows are a good time. You'll find it wherever you're listening to us now. All right. I think that does it. Doug, man, you got us from here. What should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, take some advice from our panel and don't take financial advice from just anyone. Anybody else hear the irony in that last sentence? Consider the source and how they make money before just jumping on their recommendation. Second, take some advice from the man in the bunker. Start by figuring out how much risk you're willing to take and build your strategy accordingly. But the big lesson? Don't take advice from your car guy about blue chip companies like Blockbuster. I mean, a company built on art house video recommendations by the emo guy behind the register and overpriced point of sale juji fruits will never fail. Thanks to Lacey Langford for joining us today. You can find her show, The Military Money Show, wherever you're listening to us right now. We'll also include links in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us today. You can find Len at lenpenzo.com/Doug's Biggest Fan. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for good financial planning help? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/OG for his calendar. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2023, and is created by Joe Salcihi. Our producer is Karen Repine. This show was written by Lacey Langford, who's also the host of The Military Money Show, with help from me, Joe, and Doc G from the Earn and Invest podcast. Kevin Bailey helps us take a deeper dive into all the topics covered on each episode in our newsletter called The 201. You'll find the 411 on all things money at The 201. Just visit stackingbenjamins.com/201. Tina Eichenberg makes the video version of this show. Once we bottle up all this goodness, we ship it to our engineer, the amazing Steve Stewart. Steve helps the rest of our team sound nearly as good as I do right now. Want to chat with friends about the show later? Mom's friend Gertrude and Kate Youngkin are our social media coordinators, and Gertrude is the room mother in our Facebook group called The Basement. So, say hello when you see us posting online. To join all the basement fun with other stackers, type stackingbenjamins.com/basement. Not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. But one thing that we talked about a little bit today, but we talk about a lot, is you got to have good partners on your team, stackers. And you know what? Navy Federal Credit Union could be that partner, because becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. And aren't those two of the big tenets, right? Have a debt strategy, earn more, save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. I think that's the coolest certificate. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt. Well, as you're putting your plan together, you want to also have a debt strategy, right? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing cost, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Don't get in over your head with debt. Make sure you have a great strategy and then take out debt as you need it. And Navy Federal's options certainly give you the flexibility to help you make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, equal housing lender, membership required, terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval. Awesome. And the Military Money Show. Who's coming up on the Military Money Show?
I don't even know.
No idea. All right. All right. Let's do this. 3, 2, 1.
Steve knows it.
I know. 3, 2, 1. Steve, what's Lacey got coming up? No, we should do that and have Steve bust in.
Hold on. 2 seconds. I could tell you. My brain is totally fried from riding this morning, and it will just be 2 seconds. Stand by. I had to stand by while you guys did all that math. Oh, I know. Okay.
She did no math and won.
That's right.